choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
In the Christian's life, in the believer's life, the first thing that he has to learn is that he is saved. People struggle with that. People struggle for months, sometimes years, just to understand that they are saved, which means we're talking about saving you from hell to go to heaven, eternal life, everlasting life. So that's the first thing that a believer must learn, that he or she is saved. And speaking of that, you know that in the Bible, the word saved is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament only about 100% of the time in the Old Testament, being saved does not refer to eternal life. It refers to deliverance from many different things. Deliverance from sickness, deliverance from your enemy, deliverance into the promised land, deliverance from everything and anything around you. There was no mention of salvation in the Old Testament. The word saved is not referring to eternal life. And in the New Testament, only 30% of the time does it refer to eternal life. The rest of the time, it refers to being saved from situations, being saved from sin, being saved from guilt, being saved from all kinds of things. But it has to do with the word saved is also the same word in the Greek for deliverance. Deliverance. So deliverance has a wide usage, and then 30% of the time it does have the connotation that it refers to going to heaven when you die. And so we have those promises in that regard. Believing those promises in the New Testament of God without regard to my personal strengths or weaknesses is where we get assurance of salvation, knowing I'm saved, knowing I'm going to heaven, knowing that I cannot save or unsave myself is important. I can't save myself, and therefore I cannot unsave me by messing up somehow through my behavior. I am saved from judgment and the penalty of sin through the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ has saved me. And I am delivered from his judgment against sin because Christ took it, the penalty against sin, Christ took it. And so through the cross, I have been delivered or saved. Teaching somebody, after you realize that, teaching somebody to walk with the Lord when they don't understand that they're saved is only going to produce works in them. Think about it. If you don't know that you're saved and we're teaching you how to walk with God, whatever we teach you is going to be something you're doing to get saved or to stay saved. So whatever you do for the Lord is going to be translated into those works that he says are that have no part of salvation. The works that in a person's mind thinks he's doing to get saved or to stay saved. That's a works mentality. And until a person can settle into the truth that they know that they know that they know that they are saved because of the promises of God, because of what Christ did for them, and it has nothing to do with themselves. They can look at the mirror and say, you're the worst Christian that ever crawled across this planet. And maybe you are. Some of us think you are, but just kidding, of course. But you may be the worst of the worst, and you may think there's no way I can be saved. Then that is somebody who's not believing the promise of God. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have said, I can't save myself, Lord, I accept your gift, then he is obligated to save you, and you have to believe it. And when you do believe it, you'll rest and be assured of it. And it won't trouble you. When you fail, you won't be troubled, wondering whether or not God still accepts you. Because if that's still your problem, then we really can't teach you how to walk with God. Because it's just going to be works for you. It's just going to be works. If I do this, will the Lord accept me? Will the Lord love me more? Will the Lord think I'm a better person? You know, it's all of that junk that has to go away when a person finally puts his foot upon the rock. When you put your foot upon the rock and you say, I believe and I know this is a sure thing because the Bible says it, then he is ready to learn how to walk with God. Once you know that whatever you do as a Christian doesn't add to or take away from your salvation was a gift. It was a non-meritorious, undeserving gift from God, as we just heard in that beautiful song, it's all by grace. And that's your salvation. When you know that, and nobody can convince you otherwise, nobody can make you start shaking in your shoes again because you don't know if you're saved, when you're secure in that, then you can learn to walk with God. Otherwise, anything we say is just going to condemn you and make you feel self-conscious and wonder if you're really saved or not and so forth. And so the solution for Christ in Matthew 11:28, the solution was, he said, listen, come unto me. Come to me. He didn't say get busy. He didn't say clean up your act. He said, come to me. All you who labor, and the laboring crowd is the religious crowd who are laboring and working hard to somehow find approval with God. That's the laboring crowd, the religious people who do not understand salvation by grace, but they're laboring. And then there's the heavy laden crowd. These are the people who live under the burden of sin, under guilt, and under the pressures of the details of this life. They're always in trouble, they're always under pressure, they're always going through something. Those are the people that don't have it easy because they take so much upon themselves. So he said, you who are laboring to get saved and you who are heavy laden with everything else in life, he said, come unto me. Come unto me because I have something to give you. I'm giving it to you because it's a gift. And it's called rest. What is rest? By the assurance that I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Whatever I go through here is just for a moment. It's just a moment of time. I'm going to live for eternity in heaven. I have the promise of God who never, ever lies. I've told a few whoppers in my day, but God never, ever, ever lies. So those who labor, the religious crowd, come unto me. Those who are burdened down with life, burdened down with sin, burdened down with guilt, come unto me. His counsel is not, go get therapy. Imagine Matthew 11:28. Go get therapy, you who labor and are heavy laden. It's not go get therapy. It's not go get a bottle of Valium so you can cope with life. In fact, we're going to collect the Valiums when we collect the offering today. Just collect the bottles of Valiums and the offering. Arnie's going to put them to good use. But it's not go get Valiums. It's not go get a psychologist to hear about your past and put you on the couch and everything else. It's come unto me. You people that are going through it, come unto me. And the promise is a sure salvation rest. You're going to rest. You're in your salvation. You're going to know you're going to heaven. You're going to know I did it for you without you doing one single thing for it or against it. And you've done plenty against it, more than for it. But I am giving it to you as a gift, and you need to be secure in that forever. And then he moves on. Once that's the case, verse 28, you could say, well, I've done that. I've come to him. I'm resting in the fact that I know where I'm going when I die, and you can't talk me out of it. So then the next part comes in, which is which would be the meat of the word, not the milk of the word, is to establish a person in their salvation. Giving me grace so I can grow and understand who I am. Then I move into the meat of the word, which requires a little bit of chewing on my part, a little bit of effort on my part, which is the walking with God. Walking with God. So then he says, this is how you walk with God. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. First, come to me to get saved. And that's all you need to do. By faith, you come to me. But now you're going to walk with me, you're going to serve me, you're going to take my yoke. And you remember what the yoke was. The yoke was that wooden thing that went across the two oxen. One was on the left, one was on the right, and this yoke was across them. And then the ropes were tied to the yoke, and they traveled together. And being yoked up to the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through this life, as we serve him, as we go through trials, as we go through problems, as we go through whatever, we are yoked up to Jesus Christ. And we have the same yoke upon us as he has, and we're yoked up to him, and we're learning from him. In verse 29, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The second rest. First rest was salvation rest. Now this is rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. What is your soul? Your mind and your emotions, mostly, and your conscience. You want to have rest in those areas. You don't want to be an emotional basket case. You don't want to be living in mental confusion constantly. You don't want to be going, having headaches because life is so intense and so difficult, and there's so many problems that I don't know what I'm going to do. I wish Jesus would come now so I could be done with this world. Sorry. But, you want to find rest in the soul, not turmoil, not all of this other junk that unfortunately we see in Christians. I mean, we expect to find it in the world, but to find it in Christians is it shouldn't be. But it is. They don't take the yoke, and they don't learn. They don't take the yoke, and they don't learn. Verse 28 is the coming to the Lord. Verse 29 is taking his yoke and walking with the Lord. The word rest in verse 29 is anapausis, A-N-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. That's the Greek word that it was originally written in. It means relaxation, refreshment, recreation, and vacation. So we should be taking his yoke upon us and living with Christ in this life. We should be on vacation with him. We should be in refreshment. We should be with total relaxation of the soul, even though we're going through all kinds of stuff. There's money problems, there's health problems, there's relationship problems, there's all kinds of problems. There's problems in the world, there's problems in the government, there's problems everywhere. But we should be on vacation with Jesus as we live in this time. Sounds like fire in the sky. It is absolutely possible. Walking.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Attention homeowners, do you feel frustrated about not being able to sell your home? Are you worried because you're about to be transferred, or have you recently been laid